Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PPC Show, brought to you by AdStage. I am Paul Wicker.
And I'm JD Prater.
And today is June 14th, 2019, and these are your top headlines in paid marketing and in nature. The first being, on Twitter, I saw that you had a photo of great white sharks off the coast by your house.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
You go swimming there?
Kind of crazy. So Meg has been telling me, oh yeah, like we got all these great whites. I'm like, whatever, you know? And then she finally, some guy, he's like a researcher, I think, maybe for like University of California. And he's out there like following them, taking photos. But I don't know, somehow those photos ended up in a our local neighborhood Facebook group. And they're like, no joke. Like, that's for real. They think that one's a mama who's pregnant. And that's why she's so like big right now. But at the same time, those things are super close. And we were out walking the dogs just like a couple days ago along the beach, and all of a sudden lifeguard comes up like in the truck behind us, and he's got like his like intercom thing. He's like, get out of the water, there have been sharks sighted. And you're like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like we were leaving anyway, and so we were taking the dogs, and then we like looked off the, maybe 20 feet away, and you just see like two sharks crest, you know, like fins up, and then go back down. And they were just kind of going along the coast. I mean, they were not biting people, but there were a lot of people in the water. And I was like, oh, okay, there are some great whites.
That is some jaws. Oh, shit, right there.
Yeah, apparently. And so then Sam Owen, he tweeted out that we live in the Red Triangle. And that sounds pretty cool, huh?
Because the water is filled with blood?
Pretty much.
It's crazy.
It goes from like Bodega Bay to Monterey Bay, and that's where a lot of the great whites like to hang out. Or as we just call them, whites. The white. Yeah. The lingo. And so the whites were out. So, wow.
All right. Don't let your dog go in after the tennis ball 20 feet off the coast. Well, that's some crazy stuff. That's Santa Cruz living for you right there. And then... well, and happy Father's Day. Is this your first Father's Day?
Yeah, this will be my first Father's Day for like a human. You know, like we always had like, you know, Father's Day for the dogs. But, you know, hey, for a human is now a real Father's Day. We're going to be celebrating it a day early. So we're celebrating it tomorrow, Saturday, because Meg is traveling back to Boston for the week. So not only my Father's Day gift will be watch the kid for a week. So pretty fun times.
There you go. Well, the quality time, building a relationship with your kid. That's part of Father's Day.
That's right.
Well, I don't have sharks or babies in my life, but Salesforce bought Tableau for like $12 billion, which makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about that whole like Google Looker, which it like seems to make more sense now, like a little bit more of like why they went after him, but like, whoa. Like, I think it was like 15.7 billion, something like that. Like, whoa, all stock deal. Just so much money.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know much about, you know, M&A stuff, but I think, yeah, Looker was cash 2.6, and this is a stock deal. Salesforce is a good stock to have. So, but yeah, that's, so now it's like, they're all getting gobbled up. There was another one too. I didn't realize got bought. And I will think of it at some point during this podcast, but it's been like four different data visualization tools, you know, Adobe, Google and Salesforce. And there's like a smaller one. I can't think. Anyway. Yeah. So that's crazy. That's
prediction. Kind of, Microsoft is going to buy one.
Right. I mean,
I have no idea.
Well, I was going to say they have one, you know, for those folks who use
The BI. Yeah.
Power BI.
Yeah, yeah.
But Google has Data Studio, and they still bought a Looker. Although Looker is really more like pipeline, you know, more like API and connections. So maybe they're going to take all the Looker data connections and throw them in Data Studio to try to make Data Studio like a powerhouse. I wonder, though, if like the privacy blowback from the privacy stuff is going to make people not want to use Looker to really like be the heart of their business intelligence, because you're giving Google access. You know, not necessarily access, like you have to agree that they could use the data, but you know, if they get hacked or if they get, you know, immoral, they have all your data and they already have everything. So if I'm a big company, I'm like, do I want to give Google the keys to everything in my company?
The fog from last week, the fog, it's creeping in, the fear of Google.
Carl the Fog is rolling in. That's another Bay Area reference. We're so Bay Area on the show.
How was your gelato?
Yeah, I missed gelato. So AdStage had, it was like 100 degrees in the city and our air conditioning broke. I also tweeted a photo of what Kim, who is, she's kind of the do everything person around here, but one of her jobs is office manager. And we had an interview coming in and the room was so hot. She put a fan that blew air over a bowl filled with a frozen water bottle to try to cool it off. And I was like, that's creative and we should not have it in the room when the candidate comes in. And sure enough, he was like 5 minutes early and we forgot. And sure enough, we sit down and Kim ran in and cleared it out. And I had to make a joke or two to be like, we don't really always use that as an air. We do have air conditioning. Just it's broken.
Good stuff.
Speaking of business intelligence, so you guys announced another partnership with one of those business intelligence dashboarding tools.
Yeah. So Datarama. So Datarama bought by Salesforce. So again, talking about Salesforce again, but they are this, you know, marketing intelligence analytics platform, and they've integrated now with Chorus. So they've got around like 3,000 customers. And so any of those customers that are listening, come on over to Quora, come check it out. You'll be able to pipe your data right in. So if you're listening, Ticketmaster or Pepsi or Unilever or Foursquare, come on, let's go.
Nice. I didn't. So Salesforce bought Datarama and now they bought Tableau as well.
I know, right?
What's going on with Facebook these days? So there's, in general, we could talk about the research app, but before that, since we're talking about cross-network, there's a study that came out talking about budget spend, you know, where advertisers are spending budget. And for, I think the first time, people are starting to see paid search budgets migrate over to paid social and specifically over to Facebook, and everyone's making a big deal out of it.
I was surprised, to tell you the truth, to see this one because, again, you know, last week we were going on my rant, you know, about the duopoly, which is still there. But, like, to pull from search to give to Facebook because Facebook can deliver better results is staggering. So when you think about intent, I mean, search is so bottom of the funnel. And so it just makes me wonder, are you just not good at keyword targeting? Are your ads just not great? Or is Facebook really that good? Is their algorithm that good? Do they have that much information on you that they're able to give you the right ad, you know, at the right time? And so I was shocked to see, you know, this is from a big agency, you know, this is iCrossing, was saying that, you know, that's shifting 20% of their performance budgets over to paid social, which is nuts.
Another report too. I mean, I feel like I believe it because I do feel like Facebook, especially Instagram right now, in e-commerce is becoming really like the go-to. So obviously Amazon and Google are still huge in e-commerce, but it just seems like the direct consumer brands are spending a ton on Facebook and Facebook properties, which is funny because actually there's another report later on we talk about where marketers today are spending 43% of their budgets on Google, Facebook, and Amazon, but 65% of them want alternatives to Google, Facebook, and Amazon, which is great. And it actually, your point about being at the conference last week and how people didn't want to advertise past three channels, but apparently they're the minority because, you know, 65% of these marketers said they want alternatives.
I think they say that. I don't think they actually do it in practice. And I think that's where I would challenge the report. I think, sure, we all want alternatives, but we all want alternatives that are as big as Facebook or Google. And if you're not, you know, as easy, as much reach with great conversions, you know, data, great CPCs, you know, whatever it may be. And if you're not as big and you don't have that kind of reach, then we're not really an alternative. And I was like, what? Okay. That's my reading of it, you know. And to be fair, they do consider YouTube different. They do consider Instagram different. And they do consider like Twitch different from Amazon.
Which is the funniest part of the study because, you know, 63% they said, or 65%, so they want alternatives. The top three were, you know, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch. Oh, well, that's Google, Facebook, and Amazon. So your number one alternatives are all the same three properties. So, man, as the Quora guy, you got an uphill climb here because the second top three are all part of the top three.
I know. Early adopters. That's who we're going after. Early adopters.
And then to go back to that Facebook story, they did have this research app. So back in January, there's this big to-do because it turned out that Facebook was using like a research app to find out what usage users, what app usage users had on their phone. So if you downloaded this app, Facebook used to pay you like $20 a month to basically spy on your phone, and they could see how much time you spent on your phone, how much time of that is in which app, what apps they are, kind of where you are, all that data. So Facebook can measure, you know, how they're doing in relation to other apps and app intelligence. And I actually know a number of companies that do this, and they try to give you apps that are like free services, like a flashlight app or a VPN app. And in the terms they tell you, oh, you know, this is free because we're using this data to enhance our services and offerings and something vague. And what they're really doing is using that data to, like, you know, come up with maybe targeting lists or, you know, sell that data somewhere else. So this is actually really common practice, but Facebook did this back in January, or pulled the app they had kind of among some outcry. And now it looks like they're bringing it back.
Bringing it back. They're going to be paying people cash, not their cryptocurrency or face coin, whatever. Libra.
Yeah, and they announced it will be out in 4 days.
4 days. Wow. All right.
Buy some Libra.
But here's the question that I'm asking for you, Paul. Kurt Wagner over at Bloomberg, a reporter over there, had a really funny tweet. And he was like, how much would they have to pay you? Okay. So how much would Facebook have to pay you to download this app? Is it less than $10 a month, $10 to $20 a month, greater than $20 a month, or LOL, nice try, Facebook?
I mean, I already know that probably half the apps you have installed on your phone are already doing this. Not always to figure out all this fancy stuff, but like I already assume everything I do is being tracked all the time. So honestly, I install these apps anyway. I already do it, and I don't get paid. So I would love to get paid. I mean, $20 is nice, but I'd take it, but I'm already doing it for free. I don't use Do Not Track, and I don't use a private browsing, and I don't use Ghostery to block all the cookies. My data is like, you know, an open door. Come watch me nonstop.
So you would just download this free for Facebook?
Pretty much, because I assumed like Facebook app was already doing this. So
All right. I chose LOL, nice try, Facebook, and that's where 57% of this poll landed as well. So Paul landed at probably the 8% that would do it for less than $10.
Right. I'm the weirdo. But again, I guess if the situation was none of your data is being tracked and we want permission to observe your behavior in just app usage, for $20, you wouldn't let Facebook watch which apps you're using?
No.
Okay.
Zero.
Totally fair. I'm also the guy who fills out like product surveys, and I do product feedback all the time. Like in Apple, I think with a lot of products, you can like check the box. It's like send error reports to Apple when my computer crashes. I'm the guy that checks that box. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Take my data. You mentioned crypto. Man.
Yeah, crypto.
They did announce it, and it is, I'm pretty sure, the 18th it's supposed to be released, and they got some big backers. So they got the big credit card companies to kind of get behind it. So like Visa, MasterCard, Uber, others are backing it, which means, I guess, they're investing $10 million to fund the development of the currency. And will be part of the Libra Association, an independent consortium that will govern the digital coin independently of Facebook. So,
I mean, they're starting their own country.
Right.
They're going to have their own currency. They're going to encrypt all the messages. And so you're just going to have this encrypted currency with an encrypted privacy messaging system. Do we not all see this happening? Is this weird to anyone else? Is it just me, I guess?
I want to see the flag before I buy into this. You know, start a country. I want to see a very interesting flag. Then maybe I'll join.
You're already joined, right? I mean, you've already got all the apps and you've already bought in. You're in. You are in.
That's true. I'm in the country.
Zuckertopia.
Hey, slow down. I do not buy the, maybe I'll buy the crypto. I don't know. But it's a, you know, quote unquote stable coin, right? So it's not one of these like investment portfolio coins. I mean, maybe it is, but it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to function as basically a currency. It's pegged to existing government currencies to try to limit the volatility because they want to use it as a foundation for payments. So if you're in developing countries and you use Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram and you're trying to pay someone, they want you to be able to pay right through WhatsApp and then use, you know, the Libra coin as, you know, the currency rather than whatever the local currency is. So I don't think you can get rich off it because it's not a, it's not an investment, but that's about as much as I know about coins and all this nonsense.
Well, you don't get rich. I don't get rich, but Facebook gets rich. The country. That's right.
Yeah. I wonder if they do get rich off coin, like having their own currency. I mean, I'm sure they avoid a lot of like the fees and, you know, if you're using other people's currency and all those transactions have a lot of overhead. And so they probably save on that. But, I wonder why not just use an existing coin, but rather come out with your own. Like, what's the benefit?
I mean, they'll skim off the payments. You know, I think that's really what it is. I think they'll take a certain cut every time you transact money.
So there'll still be fees. They just get to collect 100% of them if it's your coin. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Meeker's report came out. I would love to talk about it, but I only made it through about 70 slides before I passed out from exhaustion.
No joke.
I think it's like 200 or 250. It's very long.
So many.
It's so good though. I mean, it is so good. The way she captures like entire industries over time in like one chart, so good.
Hands down. I mean, this is like the thing that we all kind of like look forward to, at least I do look forward to, think about. And yeah, I mean, any surprising stats that got you? I think the big one for me was social media growth is slowing.
Let's see. The thing I got really interested in was the, China is gigantic and China not only is now the usage, I think outpaced everyone else, but still the, available untapped inventory, so to speak, of humans in China is bigger than most markets. So there's still so many people that don't have smartphones and internet access in China. It's one of the last places where, you know, you can have a growth strategy built around people who are going to get their first smartphone and internet connection. That blew my mind. The other thing is the D2C trend, you know, direct to consumer trend. So Purple Mattress was kind of one of the big famous ones, but Casper, I guess there's a lot of mattress ones. All the Stitch Fixes of the world selling clothing direct. Basically, if you go on Instagram now, all the ads you see for shoes and that trend, which, you know, me and you probably, it's old hat by now. We've been seeing these companies have already skyrocketed and sold themselves. But so it was interesting to step back and see that as actually a major trend that is still happening, but, you know, it's kind of like that. There's no more early adopter now. If you get into D2C, you're going to compete with like 30 other companies doing the same thing. It's not like when you were the first D2C doing like sneakers and it was like Allbirds or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that one. I think that was all really good. I mean, I thought there were some things missing compared to last year's, but I think overall, you know, internet advertising spend still going up and then, but where it's being spent. So mobile, I mean, like mobile is huge now, like mobile's completely surpassed desktop spend, like not even close. So mobile has really come to the forefront, which I was like, wow, you know, really skyrocketing. And then I thought it was really interesting too to see how they looked at like the number of internet users and where they're spending time on which platforms. So like by logging in at least like once a day and seeing like WhatsApp going up, I was like, oh wow, like WhatsApp is like now number three. So it's like Facebook number one, YouTube, WhatsApp, WeChat, Instagram, Facebook Messenger. So Facebook, Google, Facebook, WeChat, Facebook, Facebook.
Yeah. And the two big winners in terms of growth, I think YouTube and Instagram both have the up to the right dramatically. I mean, a few others went up 1 or 2 points. Like Twitter did better than expected. You know, everybody pretty much grew because there's just, I guess, more consolidation. Yeah, the only person that really lost traffic, it looks like, was Facebook.
Facebook.
So the 1% dip in Facebook pretty much drove growth for everyone. I guess WeChat dipped by 2% too. Everybody else grew. So overall growth fueled by people leaving Facebook and I guess WeChat. The other one that's not on here is TikTok. So I saw, I don't know how true it is, but I saw one of those moving charts on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it had TikTok like skyrocketing in terms of usage. So we talk about it every now and then. I still have never used it, but I have a feeling.
I know. They didn't even include us, Paul. We would have been number 8 on that. I know we saw it as well. We were like, man, we got to do better with our comms because we would be number 8 on that list. But
really?
Yeah.
Really, you would be number 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So, right, you'd be above Pinterest.
Yep.
Take that, right. Pinterest.
That's right where we land, but, you know, we don't.
Fancy IPO.
No one wants to talk about us, but then that, and that's okay.
We're just going to sneak up
on people.
Right. Well, they're all public companies, I think. Everybody on this list is public. True. So, also I think, true. Because, you know, you guys that aren't public, sure, monthly active users. Hey, what do we need this month? Tell them 100 million. Okay. So if you haven't checked out Mary Meeker, that's required reading for anyone in tech, internet, advertising, business. I think you have to take a few hours and just sit back and read that. Instagram, shopping and stories. So this kind of builds off what I was saying about Mary Meeker. Mm-hmm. That now buying on Instagram and via stories has just become the norm.
I mean, it's huge. I was talking with some of the youths here in the office, and they love it. Like, they're addicted to it. They like are fully plugged into the stories, and like they're like waiting for like drops. You know, I gotta wait for this drop. Anyway, it's just like they're specifically like they're looking for some like sneakers to drop, and you know they get on Instagram to see. You know, and I'm like, wow, yeah. Like, why didn't this brand just have an email marketing, you know? Like,
you are such an old man right now.
I know.
Are you waiting for those sneakers to drop, young kids?
Yes. I was like, why don't you just get an email? Like, why don't they just email you and tell you that they're live, you know?
Just give them
you
your Hotmail. And
Hotmail. Yeah. Well, anyway, this article, Jim Squires, he's the Instagram head of business. He was at Facebook and then, you know, moved over to Instagram and has really kind of, kind of been like the leader of the monetization effort, because he's been around for a while. And so it was a really great Q&A that he did with AdExchanger, really highlighting a lot of the focus of like 80% of people are following a business on Instagram. And so that's also a very compelling story. He talks about the ads platform specifically on Story, about how basically they're underpriced right now. So you can get in because of how people are consuming on Stories. You know, it's just tap, 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 tap.
Right.
You can consume a ton of content. And so therefore the CPMs are a lot lower than the feed. So if you're looking for CPMs, you know, go check out Stories. And then there's talking about ad load as well. And they were saying Instagram still has a ton of room. It's nowhere near where Facebook's at max capacity. Instagram still has a lot of room to grow. So interesting story.
I love that we're saying ad load again. So we had a story last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about Twitter increasing ad load for their top tweeters. And now Instagram's letting you know they have plenty more ad load that they can load on there, which makes sense. This is how it always goes, though. You know, try not to show too many ads so people use your product. And then once it's become pervasive, you load it up with ads. And I should say, too, I think I did a few prediction shows. I'm sure you did, too, at the end of last year. And I think cheap CPMs on Stories, cheap CPM on Stories. It might have even been Q3 trends in our benchmark report we put out. Mm-hmm. We got something about Stories, and it might have been Joe Martinez or maybe Kirk Williams. One of those guys was like, gave us the numbers on what they were seeing in Stories, and it was insanely cheap. So I think the insanely cheap part is over, but at least Facebook's now telling everybody, hey, you know, get them while they're hot. Lower CPMs exist, but that's going to change, they said.
Okay. Well, you know who's not cheap? LinkedIn.
Right. And you know who's going to roll out Stories, rumor has it?
LinkedIn? No kidding. Really?
Yeah, maybe I'm not supposed to say anything. But I didn't get it from a reliable source. This was through the rumor mill. This is not from LinkedIn directly. So.
They want to be Facebook so bad. This is amazing. So it's like Snapchat to Facebook, or to Instagram to Facebook to LinkedIn. Insane. Okay. So LinkedIn wants to be Snapchat.
Well, right. Wants to be Facebook, wants to be Snapchat. I get your line of reasoning. Yeah, well, and in search, everybody wants to be Google. And in social, everybody wants to be Facebook. So, and it is when Facebook copied Snapchat, the product manager wrote a little blog post saying, we didn't copy Snapchat. Stories are a format that exists now. And we're just expanding that format to Facebook and Instagram.
That's a really good messaging.
Yeah, it's just we're expanding this format. So more boring things on LinkedIn. What else? I think two other changes.
Yeah. I think these were maybe like some beta tests that some advertisers caught. So specifically, Andrea Cruz over at Co-Marketing tweeted out this screenshot of some eCPC. So some enhanced CPCs coming to LinkedIn ads, which is, again, is very interesting because we all saw what happened when Google introduced eCPCs, you know, this enhance where you can kind of get a 20% headroom, you know, so you might bid $5, but that could be $6, for example. And so it looks like LinkedIn's testing it. Again, it's a way to kind of drive some more revenue. Wow. You know, it's an interesting way to do it. So I'm interested to see if they're tired of these performance marketers trying to underbid them, even though their floor is already way too high. But
right. The min bid's like $12.
And then there's another one from Andrea Taylor over at Clicks Marketing. She posted there's an edit button on her LinkedIn lead gen form. So again, these were two specifically for LinkedIn lead gen forms. And AJ said that he wasn't even seeing some of these. So pretty cool to see that. Looks like people are in some betas and maybe some test rollouts to see how people are doing this. But kind of interesting that one's an edit button, that they didn't have an edit button, and the other one enhanced CPCs. So check it a look. Go look in your accounts and see if they're live in yours, and shoot us a tweet, screenshot it or something. Tag us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking right now in ours, and I do not have an edit button. So I'm...
Yeah, I looked at... We didn't have it either.
Yeah, so I don't have it the way she had it, but there is an edit over on the three-dot menu when you look at all your lead gen forms, but it's like grayed out. So that might have been there from when you had them in draft mode. Yeah, so that's actually the old edit button. When you haven't launched it yet, you can edit it. So on like inactive lead gen forms, I could make changes. But once you save and publish them, that's it. I want to edit. Yeah, I was curious to see if you can change the hidden fields afterwards, because that'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So, all right. So LinkedIn's moving and shaking. We'll probably see those things roll out. I assume those are here to stay. LinkedIn rarely does betas and doesn't roll out their features.
Very like true.
Spotify. I am a Spotify paid user. I believe you are too, right?
I am. Yeah. We have family account.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's why I know that. They have 123 million monthly users that are on the free plan, and out of 217 million users. So if you do that math, you can figure out 80, 90, so 90 plus. So I almost have 100 million users on their paid account. Impressive. And now they're, you know, they bought, I forget the name of the company they bought, but it was a podcast company.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Gimlet.
Right. Gimlet Media, which is a podcast channel. I mean, they approach us all the time and we're like, we don't believe in advertising. So we just want to do this for the good of the people. But Samsung and 3M are on board testing this new Spotify targeting option, which lets you target podcast listeners through Spotify ads.
Yeah, I think this is a good one for them. Again, when you think about money, think about ads, and then you think about the advertiser. The question that I have more than anything else is how many people are going to Spotify to listen to podcasts? I mean, there are so many different players. And I just kind of went through on the Grow with Cora podcast, just kind of like, where is Spotify? Spotify didn't even rank in the top, you know, 15 different players. And yes, there were 15 players that people are listening to podcasts on. And Spotify wasn't even close. So it doesn't mean that people aren't. It just means that they aren't for the one that I have access to for analytics. But
anyway. Well, the PPC show also does not do well on Spotify because I think last week I uploaded a link that was the wrong file, which I did on purpose on SoundCloud because it speeds up the process, and I replaced the file. Well, it turns out the RSS feed goes out Spotify grabbed it and it has this little short incorrect episode and somebody was like, you got to change it, it's wrong. So I look and there were six listens. So I was like, I'm not changing it. There's only six people who listen to it.
Six. And I bet I'm one of them.
Right. Well, I never, it's just an RSS feed I set up. They just rolled out their podcast like side of the business at Spotify. So it's very early. I'm guessing they're mostly selling inventory for like the big podcast that came with a lot of traffic in the acquisition. And then if they can build a podcast product, they'll, you know, they'll have something for the long tail, like, you know, shows like our size that are not going to get, you know, 100 million listens per episode, or maybe nobody's getting 100 million, but 10 million listens. So that's Spotify. I still don't know anyone that's run a Spotify ad. So I'm curious to find somebody and pick their brain. And then Snapchat. Oh, this is... The line I love is how the article started. I think it's a Verge article, maybe.
I think it's Social Media Today.
Oh. I thought it was Verge because Verge is very edgy and sometimes, you know, they're edgier than I am. So anyway, they started with this line. No doubt by now you've already tried Snapchat's baby and gender swap lenses. not your audience. Although, I don't know. Did you try the baby and gender swap lens?
We did the gender swap. So the youths went around, you know, a couple weeks ago and they made me into a woman. They made themselves into men. And it was pretty funny. It actually is like a really funny, but it, again, you'd think this is what all that like ML engineering talent is being spent on. It's like you're all your engineers are just working on lenses and like these like swaps but it's pretty realistic. And I guess we weren't the only ones that found it funny. Because it spread like wildfire and they ended up, I mean, getting tons of weekly installs. I mean, they were averaging somewhere around like 4 million a week and that jumped up to like 7 and then like 13 million and then 12 million and then 10 million as it kind of starts to come down. I mean, so that's like a 40 million or so in like the last month, which
yeah, I think
is pretty good. Pretty
in
good.
May, this May, they had 41 million downloads compared to last May was 17 million and last month was 16.8 million. So they were doing around, you know, 17 million flat and then boom, this feature hits and 41 million, which shows you the power of a good feature. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. in product, it's hard to see because most features you roll out do not take your traffic and, you know, 4x it overnight, or I guess in this case, 2x it almost, or 2 point something exit overnight. But every now and then you get a winner that just does, you know, kind of catches fire. So for them, it looks like this was a great feature rollout.
Yeah, 100%.
And you did use it. So this article's right. And now that I remember, like my girlfriend did it. So even though I didn't, she did it and then sent me a video. all right. So they were right. We both used it.
Yeah, we used it. So even for all the listeners here, we took our CEO's Google image photo and you can use it on that too. So we made Adam, our founder and CEO, into a woman, and he had really nice hair. So right. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Well, I think the male version, so when my girlfriend did it, they made her, you know, a guy, and it was like beard and glasses, and it kind of looked like me. So
it's like, it looked like me.
Yeah, it's like, ooh. Because you could do the face, you know, combination too on set where they mix your face with someone else, and that is truly disturbing because you can kind of see both of the people in there anyway. You have a so the last story looks like we have Microsoft. You snuck in there about some the recommendations tab. What's going on with them?
Yeah, so again, getting parity within Google Ads. So Google Ad has this kind of AI ML looking at your campaigns and then making recommendations. You know, it could be bids, could be budgets, you know, your targeting, could be ads, that kind of stuff. And now it's available in your Microsoft advertising account. So you can go in and take a look and they'll make recommendations in a whole recommendations tab. You can go in, select them, you can view them and you can apply them right there. So another great win for helping you figure out what is some like maybe some low hanging fruit or some things you haven't really thought about. Because they're able to on the back end to have robots and machines figured out for you. So it could be pretty cool.
Yeah, fingers crossed that it works. I know both Google and Bing, sorry, Microsoft, have tried for a while to get this right. So I have not played with their new recommendations tab yet, but I am excited to and see if it gives me something other than if you raise this bid by, you know, 8 cents, you'll get two more conversions. And then you raise the bid and you don't get two more conversions. So I think that's it, right? Yeah, those are all the articles we have. If you want more, you can head over to blog.adsage.io and get our newsletter, and you'll get a bunch of other headlines that we didn't cover today. And make sure you go read that Mary Meeker report. That is your homework, podcast listeners.
We'll see you guys. Yeah, is that it? Was that it? Was that the end? I didn't think it was the end.
Okay. No,
I jumped the gun.
Have a great week, everyone.
See ya.
I think we're really mastering the awkward ending.
The awkward ending. Subscribe, reviews, go to the blog, sign up for a Core Ads account, all the CTAs.